talking about adoption. That's what that song was about. Hallelujah, I'm adopted. I'm a child of the King. Tonight, we are just going to be able to introduce this, but take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. You know, if you look close enough today at church signs, you may see descriptions of worship styles like traditional worship, 11 o'clock. Maybe contemporary worship at 8:30. Maybe you'll even see blended worship. Seems as though the worshiper is free to choose the worship style of his preference. And then, of course, the church is obligated to cater to whatever that preference might be. In fact, I know of a church up in Chicago where I grew up that before they started, they actually did a survey. And in fact, they did quite well. They've got quite a congregation. I think last I heard, for a Christmas Eve service, they had 25,000 people there for it. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does worship style matter to God? Does worship style matter to God? Or is he just really interested that we worship him? Doesn't matter how. Just as long as we worship him. Maybe sincerity of heart, maybe personal preferences, personal enjoyments, maybe that's not really that important. Or is it very important to God? I submit to you tonight that the right style of worship is important to God. And I base that on the authority, I believe, of the Ten Commandments, God's Word. Let's take a look here at Exodus chapter 20. Verse 1, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." All right, so God is establishing his authority to be able to make these pronouncements. He's God. He's Lord. He brought them out of the land of Egypt. So he not only created them, he also bought them, freed them. So that gives him the authority now to make these pronouncements. Verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." All right, so it's important that you worship the right person. Verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." And so here we have verse 3, the first commandment, and verses 4 through 6, in fact, one of the largest sections of any of the Ten Commandments, devoted to the second one, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." Now, I remember years ago, I had a church member, a friend of mine, church member who taught in a Catholic university, Lewis University in Chicago, and she taught math there. And because it was Catholic, she was free to be able to bring the scripture into the classroom, talk a little bit about it. And so she decided that she was going to teach her students the Ten Commandments. And so she had, I think she may have even prepared a little bookmark, and she had the Ten Commandments written out there and handed that out. And several of the students raised their hand and they said to their teacher, "These are not the Ten Commandments." I mean, who argues over who the Ten Commandments are, right? That's pretty standard. It's pretty stock. Well, the problem came is that in the Catholic Bible and in the Catholic teaching, verses 3 through 6 are the first commandment. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image is still the same thing as worshiping the Lord your God only. And so she was kind of baffled by that. Like, what? What? How could these be the same thing? How do they still get Ten Commandments then? The way they get Ten Commandments is you go to the end, verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. That, I think, is the ninth one, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife is the tenth one. So they split verse 17 into two separate commandments there. And they combine verses 3 and 4 into the first commandment. Well, is that legitimate? I believe not. I think verses 3 and 4 are very different. I'm going to see, first of all, in these verses, verses 4 and 5, that God is all about the way in which you worship as well as who you worship. And I submit to you from verses 4 and 5 that God punishes wrong worship. God declares his disdain for wrong worship. How are verses 3 and 4 different then? Well, verse 3, I submit to you, is about the right person in worship. That you have to worship the right person. So true worship of the true person, of the true God. The right worship of the true God. Verse 4 is the emphasis on the right worship of the true God. So you can worship the wrong God, and that's not good. And you could worship the wrong way, the right God, and that's not good. And verses 4, 5, and 6 are talking about your style of worship, how you worship. Verse 3 is who you worship. Verses 4, 5, and 6 is how you worship. This is why when you come into our church, you don't see a crucifix. Because we're not worshiping an image. By the way, the cross is all over this church. You'll hear it in the preaching every time. The cross of Christ. You heard it in the testimonies tonight, didn't you not? The cross of Christ is very present. Well, we don't worship the cross. We don't worship a wooden figure carved on a cross. Our Jesus is not dead, but he's risen. So the first commandment prohibits the worship of all false gods. The second commandment advances the thought by prohibiting the use of images in worship. We don't want to give true worship to false gods, nor do we want to give false worship to the true God. In fact, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says, the second commandment forbids the worshiping of God by images or any other way not appointed in his word. Now, isn't it very clear as we read verses 4, 5, and 6, we see the rule. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. All right, that's pretty clear. That pretty much rules out anything that we would set forth as an object of worship. And we see the reason for that. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God. We'll get into that later. And then we see a warning. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. And then here's a promise, verse 6. A blessing, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So you see the rule, the reason, the warning, and the blessing. And I want us to think through this for a moment. Why does God spend so much time elaborating the second commandment. Look at the other Ten Commandments. You get a lot about the Sabbath day, but pretty much it's pretty cut and dry. Verse 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, those are all separate commandments. Verse 3 is a separate commandment, and yet this second one gets three somewhat lengthy verses. And I'd say it's a pretty strong warning, right? If you don't worship the right way, what's the result? Wow. I will visit, or I will punish the iniquity of the fathers who don't worship the right way upon their children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That's pretty sobering. Do you mean that a father who doesn't follow carefully what God is teaching us in a very clear, concise fashion, a father who just doesn't worship the true God, he uses true worship of the false God or false worship of the true God, that God will visit the iniquity upon his children and his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren? Why such a sobering message? Why such a severe consequence? Well, let me ask you this. Is worship important? It is. In fact, really, it is the whole duty of man. It is what we were created for. There is no higher calling for us as creatures than to worship the Creator in the fashion in which he prescribes. And by the way, does he have the right to tell us how to worship him? He sure does. He's the Creator. Now, I know initially, especially in today's culture, we're horrified by this. We say, oh, wow, how mean is this? That God would you know, punish the children? I mean, what do they have to do with all of this? Well, those are some very good questions, and I will answer them next time. But these verses have just gripped me as I've considered them, the importance of how we worship. It makes it in the number two list in the Ten Commandments. Worship the Lord thy God and him only. Okay, we got that one down. We understand that. But also the way in which we worship. This is pretty significant, and God gives some pretty sobering. He tells us why, because he's a jealous God. We'll talk about that. Tells us what that consequence is, but then you see, the love of God always comes following along too. Okay, we're going to get that and see how there is wonderful mercy in our Lord. But this is very serious. And we ought to be very serious about our worship. And I'll tell you, it is one of the hardest things that I have as a pastor to do, because sometimes we make decisions in worship here at the church that kind of go counterculture. And it's not super popular in the world. But worship and how you do it matter to God, and I want to give God the benefit of the doubt in that. And so, next time, and this will be a little while because we're leaving on vacation tomorrow, but next time I preach on a Sunday night, I want to flesh out these points here from Exodus chapter 20 and hopefully explain some of why we do what we do here in our worship, and how we explain some of these, how these match with the character of God, what the jealousy of God is all about, and how it is that even in the midst of punishment, God remembers mercy. By the way, not just for the third or fourth generation, but how long does God remember mercy for? Thousands of generations. Thousands of generations. If a generation is 20 years, 1,000 generations would be 20,000 years. So basically, he's just saying, you know, forever. All right. So, Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. This is the second commandment. It teaches us The first commandment teaches us worship of the true God. The second commandment tells us about true worship. Not false worship, but true worship of the true God. The right style of worship is important to God. Let's pray.